Lord, we are truly thankful that you are such a gracious and loving God. And we pray right now for our country. Lord, we're in the midst of turbulent times and, Lord, a divided country. And we just pray, Lord, that somehow you would bring unity. And we know unity only happens around the truth. So truth must precede the unity. But Lord, we do pray that you would watch over our leaders in this country, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and understanding. And Lord, even stop the mouths of the critics and the those that are trying to pervert and direct this country in the wrong way. But Lord, we just pray for your will to be done tonight in the services. And guide, lead, and direct me as I preach. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Little as much when God is in it. I'm going to preach a message, how to judge right. How to judge right. And I preached on judging in June of last year. And I feel like it's probably a good idea to look at it again. In fact, I saw a post about the new assistant health secretary or whoever he is. And I almost said Shim, whoever he is. And so I just wrote underneath to one of the smartest people I knew growing up, top in the class. And I said, scientifically, can you explain what does transgender mean? And never got an answer other than somebody below it said, judge not that you be not judged. So I said, first of all, that's Matthew 7:1. And I said, judge not that you be not judged. Well, I said, first of all, you don't know the context. The context of that is, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. In other words, if you judge hypocritically, you'll be judged hypocritically. Unrighteously, you'll be judged unrighteously. You'll reap what you sow. That's what the Bible says. That is the context of judging all the time. And so I said, and if you would like to get into a theological debate, I will partake. And he, so one of the things I said is, you know, scientifically speaking, you know, what does transgender mean? And I said, asking for a friend. So he came back and he said, look, I was just asking for a friend. So that was funny. And I said, well, then I guess our friends are judging everybody and we're not. So anyway, we left it at that, just moved on. But you know, I just look at transgender. I can't wrap my brain around that yet. There's a lot of things that are difficult in this world to figure out. But I just cannot figure out how a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. It's impossible. So why X and Y chromosome? Why is this a debate? I mean, it's a debate because I think our previous president, if he is the previous one, which I hate to say probably is, he said you couldn't go in the military and get a sex change. And the military wasn't going to pay for it anymore. And that's legitimate. I mean, come on. You go in the military, you ought to go in the military to serve, not to be served. I know that's changed in this generation some, but anyway, I think we need to look at judge not that you be not judged. So we'll start in Matthew 7, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Matthew 7, 1. You know, it's amazing what people think. I quoted to you verse 2. Well, I'll quote verse 1 again. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So the measure that you take, you'll reap what you sow. The judgment you make, you'll reap what you sow. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Here's the thing. Here's the proof. You're supposed to judge everything. Judge righteous judgment. That's what the Bible says. You're to judge everything. Everything. The problem is, you know, get the mote out of your eye first. Okay? Verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? So you look at your brother and you say, hey, you got a mote in your eye. You know, you're judging him. But you got a whole beam sticking out of your eye. Verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Let me help you when you need to help yourself first. We need to straighten. Listen, here's the problem why people can't judge right today is because they're all full of sin and hypocrisy. You know why the truth can't be preached in many pulpits is because the preacher stands up and he's as guilty as sin, and therefore he can't preach to people because he's judging unrighteously. He's being hypocritical. I did say in that conversation, I said, I can guarantee you on this one issue, I'm not being a hypocrite. I'm not a transgender. I'm not against something that I'm, you know, secretly. I've always been a male. 33 years of marriage. Any proof otherwise, honey? She's like, no. the point is, the context matters. So, continuing to read the verse. Verse 5. Thou hypocrite. That's the whole point. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. What does it say to do first? First get yourself straight. And then you can help your brother. It doesn't say don't judge. It says, judge righteously, judge right, don't be hypocritical. He says, thou hypocrite, first do this, then you can do that. First do this, then you can help your brother. You see the difference? So when somebody quotes, judge not, you be not judged, it's completely out of context. Because the whole point is, you're supposed to judge. You're supposed to judge everything. Everything. So, turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Here's what the Bible says. John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge how? Righteous judgment. So if you judge according to the appearance, you're going to be judging surface level and you're not going to really know the underlying truth. It's saying, look, you've got to determine what the truth is. You can't just judge by the appearance of things. You've got to know that you know that you know when you make that judgment. So he says, but he doesn't say, judge not according to appearance and don't judge any other time. He says, but judge righteous judgment. Boy, wouldn't that be eye-opening to those that are quoting Matthew 7:1. Everybody in the world seems to know Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. And they leave it at that. What in the world? A text without a context is a pretext. Really don't know exactly what that means, but it's always been told me. Romans 2, look at verse 1. Same philosophy here. Context, context, context. Romans 2:1 talks about judging. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Now, if you just stop right there, you go, see, you're not supposed to judge. Matthew 7:1, you're not supposed to judge. But it says, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Why? For thou that judgest doest the same things. Hypocrisy. You're doing the very thing you're condemning others for doing. And that's where you have your problem. Judge righteous judgment. Don't judge according to the appearance. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Again, he repeats it. You're doing the same thing you're judging other people for doing. By the way, the biggest hypocrites, and I'm not talking about this particular individual. We went to school together and, you know, he's a good guy. I'm not referring to him. In general, those that complain about judging are judging the person that they're complaining about having judged others. It's not right. You don't see it anywhere where it's a condemnation of judging. It's a condemnation of judging unrighteously. Look at Acts 23. Acts 23. We'll get an example of judging hypocritically in Acts 23:3. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. Paul's pointing out, he says, look, you're judging me according to the law, but you're breaking the law when somebody smote him. See, there's nothing wrong with the law when they were under the law. The problem was with man and his hypocritical institution of the law. Look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 talks about Simon Peter asking a question about the two creditors that each had a debt to the creditor with both being forgiven. Luke 7:43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most, and he said unto him, that's Jesus speaking to Simon Peter, thou hast rightly judged. Now, if we're not supposed to judge, don't you think Jesus would have said, you know, you shouldn't judge right there? But he says, thou hast rightly judged. Look at Luke 12. Luke 12. Verse 54, he said unto the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. Verse 55, and when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to judge what is right. So, if God said He created male and female, created He them, and He tells them to procreate, then it's okay to say that anything outside of that is an abomination. And this thing that's going on, and listen, it's going to be shoved down our throat 100-fold from here on out. And we just got to look at it and say, no, we're not going to accept it. Here's the key words. Follow the science. Follow the science. You just ask somebody, say, can you scientifically tell me how a man becomes a woman and a woman becomes a man? Scientifically, tell me how that happens. Does their chromosome change? Even if they could change the chromosome, it's still not changing the reality of it. Can a man ever have a baby? Well, yeah, they can in vitro fertilize. No, they didn't have a baby. It was in vitro fertilization, an abomination. And I think I saw somewhere where maybe it was just a Facebook picture of some man carrying a baby or something, but huh? A woman that became a man, still a woman. Looks like a man. With a bubble. A bowling ball. What? Oh, yeah. You know, unfortunately, that's where we're heading. And America is leading the way. America is going to stand accountable. Get your affairs in order. Whatever that may mean. Get your affairs in order. Make sure you're living right, doing right, loving the Lord. That's it. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm already out 61. I'm already halfway plus, okay? I can't imagine living in this world not living for the Lord. I lived for Him, you know, for a period of time back in the 80s. And I wasn't even saved in the 70s, in the 60s, in 1959, when I was birthed. I cannot imagine walking through life without the peace and the joy and the contentment that I have because I'm a child of God. I can't imagine. And yet, and listen, I'm happy. Even today, I had to go out to the store, so I did see the Paris Climate Accords was some first thing done today. And, you know, I just, you know, what did you, you know, I've been to China, Philippines. In the Philippines, I had to tell them, I cannot stand out here any longer. You know, we're street preaching. I can't be out here any longer. I said, I cannot keep breathing that in. Then I said something. So the missionary went into Cebu City. And in the city, he brought a guy in from the country. And I said something. He said, shh, shh. Basically, don't tell him I'm killing him. I mean, it was terrible in those cities. And listen, here's what happens. Whenever they have some type of big shindig like they did when we last went to China in March of last year. It was right after all the world leaders met in Beijing. They shut down all the factories for 2 weeks before. So we came on the tail end that time in Beijing, and it wasn't near as bad. And I'm like, why isn't, you know, why? You remember, it wasn't polluted that bad. And they said because they closed down all the factories. Who can do that? Communist government. They just shut, well, in America. Man, I just thought about that. Communist China can shut down all the factories and tell you you can't make a living for 2 weeks because they got to put on a show for a bunch of world leaders coming over there. And America's done the same thing for the other reason, unless you are a big box store like Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, and whatever else. That is not right. And it may be repeated. That'll be a scary thing. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John 8:15. Jesus rebuking him. He says, "You judge after the flesh. I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me." He says, you judge after the flesh. So the thing you got to watch out for is judging after the flesh. Judge righteous judgment. But to say, judge not, you be not judged, as though that's a condemnation of judgment, it's not, because the context is judging hypocritically. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. So always keep that in mind. And again, like I said, with this whole thing that's going on, let's start talking science. If you want to give somebody an answer back, just say, tell me the science on that. Tell me if there were no men and women ever together again, what would happen in the world? It would just cease to exist. Because you got to have men and women. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about a spiritual person, and it says that they will judge all things. Why can I judge Washington, D.C. and the things that are coming out of there? It's because of 1 Corinthians 2:15. I want to be spiritual. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Why? Because he's living spiritually. So he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So what do you need to do? You need to judge all things. Do not accept the lie that you can't judge. When I walk up to somebody, I ask every single one of them that's at the house, I'll say to them, I'm saved, do you know what I mean? And people say, you shouldn't ask that way. Well, you know, I've done it a long time, and here's why. If they don't even know what saved means, or you say, well, they'll just say yes. Well, no, I'll say, do you know what I mean? Yes, of course. And they go right into it. Well, now I know. Or and we got some saved people over there. It's pretty nice. I mean, it's been a joy to be around them and to talk to them because of their relationship with the Lord. And I have, you know, it's not like they can tell me not to come over there. It, you know, it is my house, and, you know, they're not wearing a mask. I'm not wearing a mask. And I tell all of them I've already had it. Not that I can't get it again. I'm just telling them I've already had it. And, oh, I gave blood yesterday, so I'll find out if I still got the antibodies. I do believe that if you have the antibodies, historically, that meant you, it's like the flu. You weren't, it wouldn't be as bad if you got the flu with the antibodies. That's why they give you a flu shot, I guess, if it really works. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul, he continues three chapters later, and here's what he says in verse 3. For I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. Paul is talking about somebody that is living in sin in the church. By the way, you know, if you're living in sin and it becomes a public matter, then it becomes a public matter. If it's a private matter, it can stay private. But the point that you got to see here is he that is spiritual judges all things. And Paul says, I have judged already as though I were present. Again, everything. There is not one area in the Bible where it says don't judge, except that you don't judge hypocritically. You don't judge unrighteously. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. He says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. In other words, let me tell you, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a guy that is living in sin. He's going to be kicked out of the church. The church is supposed to be a protective shell for its members. That's the intention of the church. When you get out of church and you quit church, you lose some of that protection that comes from the church. It's like, well, wait a minute, we get together and we sing a song, if we're singing, we hear preaching and then we go home and, you know, that's it. No, that's not it. The point is, the church is supposed to be there to be that protective mechanism. He says, you know, when you kick that guy out, I think in verse 5, it says, and turn him over for the destruction of the flesh, of the devil, the devil's destruction. So, in other words, when somebody is no longer in the church, they're more susceptible out there. And the Bible says God's going to judge them. If the church does the job it's supposed to do, you judge from within. That's what we're supposed to do. And that doesn't mean, you know, there's been a lot of abuse in that area, too. And I've seen it, and I've seen how it destroys the church. So be very careful in what I'm telling you right there. I am not your Holy Ghost. I'm not. I'm not going to be one that's going to tell you, who do you marry? You know, who do you... Yeah, what kind of car you buy, what color of the car. But you know, there are preachers that have done that through the years. They've gotten so intertwined in people's lives that you got to come to the preacher to find out what the will of God is. I have told you time and time again, and I'll continue to do it. You can know the will of God. And I tell Melody comes up to me and she says, well, you know, I'd like to do this with a bulletin. And she checks with me on a number of things. But a lot of times and it'd be like Gary. If Gary says, hey, what song do you want me to sing? I just look at him and I'd go, if we ever get Gary back over here, I'd say, Gary, I want you to pray about it. I want you to pick the song out. Why? Because God can lead him. Now, if there's a special song, that's different. Little as much if I'm preaching on myself or something, I don't know. You know, that I told you about that song, Little as Much. I mean, it changed my life. The 6'4", you know, Bobby Monger looks over and says, hey, this is your song. I don't even know what the song is. And they sing the song. And man, it moved me. It became one of my favorite songs of all time because it says that. I mean, it says a lot, you know. I mean, are you focused on God? Are you focused on that little field that you got? Listen, I was in rescue missions, nursing homes, prisons, juvenile detention centers. I didn't have the high life of church, you know, being able to preach in a pulpit, you know, the glory. So I had that small ministry. And then I got sort of well known with the books, and I was like, man, give me obscurity again. Please give me some obscurity, because you become a target. And that's why I try to keep my weight down, just make it a little more difficult to shoot at. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10, look at verse 15. He says, I speak as the wise men, judge ye what I say. So tell me, judge not, be not judged. No, judge ye what I say. So here's what I'm telling you right now. Judge what I say. If it's scriptural, abide by it, accept it, let it work on you and change you and mold and make you into what you ought to be for Jesus Christ. If it's not scriptural, judge ye what I say. Take the meat and spit out the bones. And there are bones in every place. You're not going to find that everything somebody says is right. And as I get older, I have less things that are reversing. There's more wrong than right. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible tells us that we're to judge ourselves also. Look at verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If you judge yourself, here's the whole thing. If you judge yourself, then you won't be judged. But when you are judged and chastened of the Lord, it's so that you will not be condemned with the world. World's going this way right now, like a speeding bullet. I want to go that way because I don't want to be judged with the world. So let's continue to go against the grain. Now, you know, there's a lot of ways of looking at it. You can't be so against the world that, you know, like a guy over here is chewing tobacco, and I had to talk to him about some stuff, and I really like the guy. He's a phenomenal electrician. And but I get nauseous. I mean, right now I got a little bit of a headache, I think, from smelling that, because we were really close in the kitchen area because I was looking at where the vent goes, the vent stack. And, you know, I don't need to look at him and go, you know, get that thing out of your mouth, you know. Just deal with it. So I'm talking to this other, the electrician's helper who's still in the Air Force. They train him outside. You know, I'm talking to him about the Air Force and stuff. And then, you know, he drops, you know, drops a cuss word on me. I act like he didn't even say it. Why? So what? I mean, what are you going to do? I got to go wash my ears out. Just a minute. I'll be back. You hurt me. You struck me right there. Yeah, I wish nobody cussed. Wish I didn't cuss when I was a cusser. You know? But I'm going to judge him? That'd be pretty hypocritical. Because I used to cuss. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, just like 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it said judgment needed to, you know, we need to judge ourselves. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says judgment must begin at the house of God. Look at verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, What shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Boy, if we would just judge ourselves, you realize if you would look in the mirror and you would be honest with yourself and you would judge yourself, it will change you. People are so unrealistic. We sometimes have rosy colored glasses on who and what we are. And we look in that mirror and we think, boy, look at that. Man, God's gift to humanity. Now, I know you don't think that extreme, but we look in there and we're not honest with ourselves. You know, if you can learn to be honest with yourself and who and what you are and how you behave, how you react, boy, it could make a world of difference. Because the whole thing on improvement is admitting who you are, where you are spiritually. Some of the worst people that I've ever met in my life refuse to admit that they are their problem. Everybody else is their problem. I had ordered some tubs and needed a right-hand drain. Picture showed a center drain. I called them up. I said, look, your picture shows a center drain. I said, I can't use a center drain. I got to have a... Well, the description says right-hand drain. And I went, I know, but... And she says, go by the description, not by the picture. Because the picture could just be symbol of it. They came in, center drain. So I took a picture on the side and it said, right-hand pump, center drain. And I sent it to him on Friday. And I said, what are my options? And so they refunded all my money and said, we are so sorry. I said, look, I need to order at least one more tub today. And then they're writing me and saying, well, you know, you do understand that we don't usually just refund your money and say, keep the tubs. And, you know, we're doing, you know, but blah, blah, blah. And I was like, OK, I understand this. I said, when I got the tubs in, I was very upset. I was extremely disappointed. But I did not let you know that. And I did not blame anybody there because it was a simple mistake. But I do want you to understand that I was very upset. And so I had to tell her that. And I was like really bummed that I don't have my tubs after Christmas and COVID and they're 2 weeks late. I mean, yeah, I got the plumber over there now that would have put them in yesterday. So the point is this, what I said was, if I get upset with you, it's not going to make you feel any better. It's not going to make me feel any better. And it's certainly not going to help the situation. So that's who I choose to be 90% of the time. And I said, but I also know you can't send me another tub and me expect to get another refund. I said, you said it's a right-hand tub. You said this is the dimensions. If it's that tub, send it to me and you got nothing to worry about. And she says, okay, we're on the same page. I just want you to know my supervisor told me I had to ask that difficult question. But I had to let him know that I wasn't just happy-go-lucky. You know, I had to tell him that I was a little bit disturbed because I didn't give him that impression. I just, here's what I do. I wrote him a thing and I said, here's the tub. Here's the picture. It's wrong. You know, I called you because Judy wrote down the note, called Jennifer December 23rd. She said, don't worry about the picture. So I had that note there, but they had to know that. So when you're in any type of situation, just be wise in the thing. You don't have to choose somebody out. You know, I got a refund without asking for one. And guess what? That tub is going to go on the back porch because it works. It's a center drain and it's a jacuzzi and I'm not going to buy another jacuzzi. So I'm going to put that jacuzzi. It has a center drain. All you do is put the center drain outside of the porch, block it in, have hot and cold water going to it. And I got a free jacuzzi. I didn't chew anybody out. I wasn't mean to anybody. What I say is just think about it. All I said was, what is my options? And guess what? The next email was, we credited your whole account back. Cool. One more verse, John 12. And I'm not using me as the example to tell you you need to be like me. Please don't. Right, Judy? Do not answer that. That's when she's not allowed to answer. Here's the last verse. God's word judges you. John 12:47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. If Jesus came to judge the world, they'd just all been killed every time they came up to him. You know, you're dead. You're a prostitute, you're dead. Verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. What's going to judge you? The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We're going to be judged according to this Bible right here. The Bible talks about the book being open. That's the book of life. And it talks about the books being open and being judged out of those things that are written in the books. This is known as 66 books. 66 books with seven seals. That's why most of your Bibles have a seal here, 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 here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven sealed books. So many believe that those books that'll be opened are going to be the Word of God. It's going to be the, you're going to be judged according to this book right here. So you know what you need to do? You need to learn what this book says. You don't know what the book says, you're still going to be judged. Ignorance of the law is no escape. Ignorance of the Bible is no escape. You can't say, well, I just didn't know. No, you had the chance to know. And you could have known. And you could have done better. And you could have lived closer. And you could have been more godly. And that's what it's all about. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct during the invitation time. Lord, have your will and way. We need to hear even now from you speaking to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As the pianist plays. Just ask God to help you make good judgments. Young people, ask God to help you make good judgments.